Blog Talk Radio.
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing great. So, tonight we were talking about aliens, UFOs, and, well, one of the things that, you know, interests me was the Gulf of Mexico and, you know, alien sightings, you know, UFO sightings in the air. And, you know, I know that in the Gulf of Mexico that there has been a lot of these, like, reported sightings. What is your take on them?
I'm not sure. I've seen a lot of TV shows on UFO sightings. I've seen, like, YouTube videos of, you know, shaky cameras and blobs in the sky. Once I saw something, I want to say it was 22. And I was getting in the car to go to the store at night, and the person I was living with at the time, and I were in the car, and I had a moonroof in my car then, and I kept seeing this light. And now, you know, seeing lights where I lived at the time was nothing unusual. This guy lived near military bases. I lived near a hospital, so there's always helicopters and planes, you know, kind of flying around. But this light made no sound. There was no engine. So, I mean, we opened the car windows, we looked up, we opened the roof, you know, there was it looked like a spotlight, like a helicopter spotlight, and there was no sound. So we don't know what it was, we never proved it. So, you know, they could be out there, you know, but I couldn't say yes or no of what I saw was in fact the UFO. It could have been some kind of plane, a glider plane with no engine. Or the wind was blowing in such a way that we couldn't hear it.
Yes.
But, you know.
Yes. I don't know. I know.
Have you seen anything that was safe?
No, I mean, I haven't really experienced anything personally, but when I was reading, you know, some of the reporting sightings here near the Gulf of Mexico, a lot of people, you know, it's the typical, you know, like, where they'll see a light and it'll like flash and it'll zoom off, or they'll see like maybe a rotating circle I don't know why it's a circle. And see, this is the problem I have with it. You know, if we don't know what an alien spacecraft is, you know, why are we always associating it with something circle or like a UFO, you know? Why do we think a UFO looks like that? You know, so, I mean, no one knows what an alien spacecraft looks like because no one's ever really saw one. So we don't know what one would look like.
People will draw pictures of what they see. And there's been things that look like, all I can think of, and I don't know if you ever saw this movie, Flight of the Navigator. Mm-hmm. It was made during the 1980s. And it was about this kid who lived near or on a military base. And he sees this, like, glowing. All I can say is it looks like mercury, but it's in a shape, mm-hmm. like a kind of like a teardrop shape almost.
Yeah.
And it talks. And, you know, I remember that show and E.T. and all that, you know. And people will say, well, I saw a flying saucer. Well, you know, and that came up from, you know, disc-type-looking crash that people were seeing. And, you know, for a while, I was like, yeah, well, maybe they saw something different. Like, oh, Roswell was just a weather balloon. Okay, well, what's a weather balloon look like? It's kind of teardrop shaped and, you know, a balloon and metallic. Well, what if it was being blown so that, you know, by high wind and it was horizontal? There's your kind of flying saucer type shape almost. But what if, you know, and then people were saying, oh, well, I saw this triangular shaped craft and it was black. Well, about 10 years later, the stealth bombers came out. I think they were seeing, you know, they seen, well, the Roswell, which was a military base, or near Roswell. I think it's Area 51 or something. Then there's the space, you know, then there's people seeing UFOs, which are, I guess, unidentified sailing objects or submerged mm-hmm. objects. They see them underwater. They see weird lights, you know. But at a lot of the times, there's mass sightings. Like 2,000 people in China saw the same UFO. You know, you can't say, well, all those people were crazy. And then there's like 20 different YouTube videos that show up from different angles, the same thing, and you can't explain it. But we've had, the show Ancient Aliens was on the History Channel. I've been watching it on and off for a few years just because I found it interesting that there are unexplained things in our past that we find in hieroglyphs, in carvings, in paintings, you know, right up until the modern day, you know, modern technology.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's Da Vinci paintings or Botticelli paintings with weird little men in flying crafts in them. I mean, how do they know what that looks like? Men didn't fly then. We didn't have airplanes. We didn't have helicopters, you know, in the
mm-hmm.
1500s. How do they know what, you know, we find these little golden aircraft, like nuggets. Like, I was told that they were like an inch long or 3 inches long, something like that. But these little things that look like airplanes. And they're 2,000 years old. So, and there's, you know, supposedly this, I don't know which monument it was carved on, but an ancient Egyptian hieroglyph that looks like a helicopter.
Yeah. Huh.
You know, it's like we were talking about what's about, you know, like the Philadelphian experiment and time travel is like, well, you know, is that possible? Could have one of these modern things somehow slipped into the past and people think it's a or is that what a UFO is? Is it actually somebody from another planet visiting here? We don't know. And I think it's, you know, I think it's really interesting. I mean, there's a lot of different
theories. Well, you know the Ancient Alien show? Who's that guy with that really weird hair?
What's his name? His first name is George, and I always mispronounce the last
name. Yeah, well, I want to say something about that show. Like, I know this has nothing to do with it, but this is just something I've noticed. From the progression of watching that show, I've watched it for a while now. I don't know if it's just me, or is his hair getting weirder and weirder, like, every year? Like, it's getting longer.
I actually found the same thing. I was talking to a friend who we joke about that guy, and I said, you know, his hair gets more wild and his skin gets more orange as the series started, you know, as it progressed. And I said, he's being, like, abducted by aliens or his makeup artist needs to be fired. I don't know. But it is.
Yeah.
It gets weirder and weirder as the series goes on. And, you know, I think it's such an entertainment factor. I have actually the first season floating around my house somewhere. And it's a really interesting show. I mean, they go into so much detail about things that, you know, they even talk about, you know, in the Bible. Ezekiel's wheel is considered a UFO. The burn.
Oh my gosh! You know
a UFO.
The weirdest theory. Sorry, Amy.
No, go ahead. All
right, I just had it. Like, I just remember this. I forgot. I read it somewhere, and I think it was on that show. I think I watched it on that show, or I read it somewhere, but. They said that Noah's Ark was actually a UFO spacecraft.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, whoa. Like, that's some trippy stuff right there. Wow. So, I don't know how they arrived at that idea, but... Yeah, it was some alien spacecraft, and it was actually collect different animals' DNA and, you know, repopulated the planet, and I was like, whoa. Weird.
Like stuff. How they find out with this how is cattle mutilation, how certain organs are removed, there's no blood in them, and then, like, half their jaws removed, and it's surgically done, and there's absolutely no human footprints around it, no tracks, no nothing, no fingerprints. And, you know, that they contribute that to aliens or some kind of alien experimentation. You know, millions of people have claimed they've been abducted by little gray men. With, you know, I'm not discounting what people perceive, but I mean, sometimes when you look at it, it's like there are some people who do it for attention. There are some people, it's like it's with anything. You can say, well, I was mugged or whatever. And, yeah, it sucks that it happened. But if it really didn't happen to you and you're just saying it to gain, you know, something, it's a different story. But, you know, a lot of abductees and, you know, there was a lot of fakery, you know, forgery going on for a long time that I read about and just saw documentaries on. They're like, oh, well, by the way, the story turned out to be false, you know, big little type at the end of the show, little type of thing. And it was disproven. But some of these people have unexplained symptoms, marks. They've found implants in people's skin, like little transmitter type things. And I know that's one of the things you always find like on the X-Files and stuff like that. There's this guy that's paranoid that thinks, you know, he's wearing tinfoil hats and he thinks that aliens implants and stuff in his skin. But there's really people like this. These are not just TV characters. There are people out there that really think that they've been, I don't know, altered by alien technology. And they will use tinfoil and, you know, they'll find some way to get x-rays done to scan themselves, and they'll go to the doctors constantly complaining that there's something under their skin. And in their minds, it must be terrifying. But whether or not a lot of them are telling the truth or it is all in their head, you know, I can't say whether, you know, who's telling the truth or not, because I don't know enough about the cases. Usually you don't hear much on them, so you can't really do
Most of the Yeah, most of the people that have been abducted by aliens, you know, a lot of them really kind of don't remember what happened.
Yeah.
Some of them do, which I'm not really sure. Like, so it's kind of, some of the stories are kind of opposite, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know. It's interesting to see some of the stories, you know, and see how different they are. You know,
mm-hmm.
well,
yeah.
And I don't know, maybe this is just me. Maybe, perhaps, let's say if they were abducted, perhaps they don't really remember what happened, but they're kind of like in their
mm-hmm.
mind. They're kind of basing it off of things they do know about, like on TV or something like that, and they're telling that.
Yeah.
Because that will, you know, kind of relate, kind of make sense of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Usually, like, everyone who's been abducted, like, they'll always, like, say, oh, well, you know, they were gray beings with big black eyes or something like that. And, you know, usually we always associate aliens as gray beings with black eyes. And everybody says that. So, you know, I don't know if people are just saying, excuse me, in their mind that this is what they look like because this is all we know. Like, you know, maybe they can't remember. So, you know.
That's like, I've never, it's one thing I've never gone back to. I've noticed that, like, you know, the little gray men theory. They claim they dissected one from Roswell, and there's supposedly this alien autopsy video, which I think it turned out to be false, but it was a little gray man. Where that description first came from, I'm not sure, but I know, like, there was a story, I think, somewhere in Texas that they swore that there was an alien that, you know, crash-landed in a well or some kind of well. And the town actually got the alien out, which was dead, and buried it without a gravestone in their local cemetery. Now, one of the, you know, In Search Of shows wanted to go dig it up, and the town wouldn't let them. But it's not like a town like Roswell, which really highly profits off of, like, their UFO sighting or their crash-landed UFO.
Mm-hmm.
This town, like, has nothing to do with UFOs at all.
Mm.
The place where the well that was supposedly the crash site has been cemented over. There's some kind of building on top of it now. Like, nobody cares about it. But they'll talk about it as if, you know, it's a matter-of-fact thing. It's like, yeah, an alien crash landed here. Okay, well, where is it? It's buried in that cemetery. Can we dig it up? No. You know, I mean, it's weird. You know, I don't know. I guess people handle it differently. But, you know,
oh,
go to Roswell,
it's
just cafes named,
where is the town?
You know.
Where is the town?
Yeah, I don't know. It's strange, you know. And, like, I was looking at, I'm actually looking at it now. I had found it earlier. It's a map of UFO sightings in the United States by, you know, just by frequency. Like, the sightings
mm-hmm.
go from, like, 1 to 5, 6 to 20, 21 to 100, 101 to 500, and 501 plus. And I'm noticing that the really active areas are near the water. One is, I want to say it's the Seattle area or just south of Seattle. One is Chicago, Illinois, or that area, right on the Great Lakes. New England looks a little darker, but it's not as active. I'd probably say it was the 100 to 500 range. New Mexico, but that really isn't near the ocean, so to speak. Places in California on the coast. And Florida, like the Miami, Dade, and right on the Atlantic coast.
Yeah,
what is
Florida rated?
Well, different parts are rated different things. It seems to be, like, Central Florida, I would say, around, like, Orlando is pretty in the, it's like a pink color coding. It's the 100 to 500 range, and then, but Northern Florida, like, on the panhandle, there's nothing for a while until you get just below, where, right near where it intersects Alabama, and then it starts getting, you know, more sightings. There are some, there's some areas that are in 1 to 5 range, but, you know, and it's interesting. It, you would think, I hear of a lot of UFO sightings in rural areas, but this map tells me that, you know, it happens in big cities too, and you know, sizable populations. A lot of them, like, New Mexico is pretty rural, but not Seattle and Chicago. Those are very, very highly populated areas, in Florida too. So you would think, you know, you'd think there was a pattern, but I wouldn't be able to, I'd like to pull up a map of active military bases where there's, like, new product testing, I guess, going on, and then superimpose it on this map and say, does this make any sense? You know, is it a military thing? Is it, a new technology thing, or is it something else? You know, eliminate that one avenue of, you know, technology development, and you'll say, well, if we can't explain it with that, then what is it? You know, we need to ask these questions. I mean, it's like paranormal investigating. It's like you have to be very – there are people who have been hunting UFOs for decades. I mean, ever since the 1960s or 50s, there have been people actively looking for aliens on this planet. There is the SETI program, which I had on my computer years ago. Actually, about the same time I saw that UFO, I had it was a screensaver, and as long as you were connected to, like, you know, broadband internet back then, you could run this. It would actually use your computer and, like, a ping. I don't know exactly how they did it, but you helped analyze data. And it would, you'd crunch all these numbers through the screensaver, and while the program was running, and you'd spit it back to the SETI project. And it was to help, and you could actually actively listen to certain radio telescopes that were searching for alien life. And if you at home found a signal, you could, if you had, like, I didn't have the knowledge to, I thought it was just kind of fun. The screensaver was kind of fun. But if you knew how to work the program, you could, you know, snapshot whatever sound you got and send it back to them with all this information, to see if they could prove that it was a, you know, intelligent signal, not just static. But I never heard anything. And then I ended up I got rid of that computer and never downloaded it again, or never found the software again. And, you know, it's one of those things where your objective, there's, you know, but to a point you have to know, I don't know, you have to know what you're looking for, or you can't think, you know, every little light in the sky could be a UFO. I mean, there are a lot of people that I've, you know, seen shows on it. They see, like, this light, and they freak out that it's a UFO, and it's a plane with, you know, it's blinking lights on, or, you know, or they go out looking for UFOs and they can't find any for months. And suddenly they go pack up their stuff and go home, and there's a major sighting like 2 weeks later. I get very overwhelmed with some of the information I've heard, and then some of it you can't find any information on it.
Yes. Well, I don't know. Like, you know, I mean, I don't know why the paranormal has, you know, like, when you look at shows on television stuff, there's more, like, paranormal shows than there are, like, UFO shows. but I think that when people, you know, look up into the sky,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I think that people, you know, I don't know why, though, but I kind of feel that, like, UFO stuff is becoming a little bit more popular now.
Well, I felt like, I don't know, maybe since I stopped watching TV, and I'll read articles online.
Yeah.
I find that they're both about the same now.
Yeah.
Like, ghosts and then UFOs. When you, like, I read, like, my weird news on unexplainedmysteries.com. It's a fun site to go to if you want to read about anything out of the ordinary. And there's as much sighting of things in videos as there are talks about articles on ghosts and apparitions,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, things that go,
yeah.
bump in the night. They have natural phenomena too, like they were talking about that new species that was, you know, found in Colombia, I think it was. Or just like how, you know, they'll talk about religion, they'll talk about faith, like, just pulled it up now. CIA acknowledges the existence of Area 51. They finally have admitted it's there, you know, even though people have been walking up to this place, the CIA acknowledges the existence of Area 51 as a secretive, you know, highly top secret military base, which coincidentally is involved in a lot of alien sightings, or UFO sightings. Some of it, they say that at Area 51, they have the crash ship from Roswell, and that they have, or are doing it now, reverse engineering it to make weapons of war or some kind of technology, you know, nefarious technology that we should all be afraid of. That's what a lot of people, like, you know, that I've seen. They're like, they're doing all this stuff and it's going to be a nightmare for the world. And they're like, well, hopefully, you know, if aliens have come here, then it means that wherever they live, it's further away than we can get. So we can get to our moon. We theoretically, I think, they're saying we could get to Mars. So they live further out than that, which means they have more advanced technology than we do. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, who's to say we can figure it out? Who's to say that it even resembles any, you know, people say, well, aliens will look just like us because we're intelligent. You know, humans are very, human-centric is the word I'm thinking. They base everything around what they know. And they
mm-hmm.
say, well, aliens are like us. They're bipedal. They've got big heads because they need big brains. And that, well, maybe that is where the little gray men came from. You know,
this
sort of educated guess of what they look like. You know, they're saying, oh, well, aliens are telepathic, this and that, you know. And, you know, through the sci-fi that I've seen over the years, you know, they want them, either it's less frightening or it's, you know, kind of based on something around what you know type of theory. But, you know, if aliens visited us from wherever they come from, they have to be 1,000 times more advanced than we are. And I doubt that we would be able to figure out how their stuff works. Unless we had some, you know, it's one of those things of, you know, there's a ship sitting there, and it would be like giving a caveman a sports car with a keyless entry remote, or like an alarm remote entry. How long would it take him to figure out how to work it? Would he be able to even figure out how to start the car? You know, it's like if you've never been presented with the technology before. Are you smart enough, or are you intuitive enough to figure it out? In most cases, I would say yes, but, you know, I don't know if, you know, 30 years ago, we wouldn't have known what to do with an iPhone or a cell phone of today's caliber. We would have just looked at it and said, there's no...
Yeah, it's like,
well,
it's like
yeah,
giving
there's
your
no
iPhone to your
it.
Grandma. It's like giving your iPhone to your grandma. Yeah. How do you do work this thing? Like,
and how does
yeah.
this work? Yeah, I mean, even, you know, my grandmother, she passed away a couple of years ago, but she did not even want to touch a computer. Never mind a cell phone. I don't think she ever had one. She was uncomfortable with non-rotary phones, I think. You know, anything push button she was kind of wary of. She never learned how to program a VCR and she still thought, you know, a TV should have antennas instead of wires running into the for cable. But you know, it's a fascinating when you think about what people see and the possibilities of you know, there's, like I said,
you're
concentric. There's the camp that says, well, God made us and we're special. And no, there's no other life out there because God made us. And that's where their little story stops. And then there are those that say, well, God made us in his image. I'm sure he made others in his image. They must look like us. There's that. There's the people who think that, well, there is no God, but science dictates and the mathematical probabilities of life out there, there's got to be life out there. You know, it's going to happen. And then there are people like, I read a lot of Stephen Hawking, his books and lectures and stuff. And one of the shows that I want to say it was The Universe, but I'm not positive.
Yeah.
He was talking about how, and he had this whole series about if mankind ran into aliens, we would not want to meet them because they would most likely want to exterminate us. They would just want they would take the planet for its resources and kill everything on it, anything living that could fight against them on it, and we wouldn't see it coming.
Well, after the show, Amy, there's something I wanted to actually say about something you said. Cause I don't want to say it and offend someone, but you know what? But think of this. You know how Columbus came to America, you know, mm-hmm. and didn't treat the natives bad? Well, here's my thing. Aliens, you know, extraterrestrials probably already came to this planet, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's my thing. If they were, like, if they had, like, bad intentions or negative intentions, don't you think they would have done that by now? Like, obviously they're not,
well, maybe
like,
they have.
I don't believe,
maybe they have.
Maybe they have, but we haven't heard about it. Because, I mean, they've been
a lot of people are saying we're killing the planet by our technology. Would have they had a hand in our technology for killing the planet.
That would be horrible.
You know,
that would be like assisted suicide.
Yeah,
oh, shit, that's horrible.
It's
I mean.
Like,
what's a
good way to conquer a people? Have them fight amongst themselves. What did Columbus do?
Yeah.
Get
that's
the Indians
kind of morbid.
In South America to fight against each other. He encouraged them to have civil wars. And when their spirits were broken and their troops were decimated, he conquered them. Or not Columbus, I'm sorry. It wasn't Columbus. It was Pizarro. He was in South America. Columbus went into the islands and stuff. He wasn't very militaristic. But Pizarro was. And they invaded the Mayans, the Incas, and they had basically, when they were sort of just getting to know them, they knew that these people were at war with each other, and they encouraged it. And then they also brought smallpox to these people who had no immunities to it and no chance of, like, even surviving it. And they decimated their population. And, you know, they didn't, and they also, you know, whoever was left, they converted by force to Christianity. They, you know, they stripped their temples of gold or anything precious to them. They stripped their, you know, temples of paintings and artifacts or, you know, anything that wasn't nailed down, they took and brought back to Spain, especially if it was made of gold or silver or any precious metal. You know, they brought it, they plundered it. And if aliens came here, they introduced things to this planet that would wipe us out. It would be like a pandemic because we wouldn't, I'm sure they'd bring some sort of, you know, they wouldn't be sterile creatures. They, you know, they'd bring some kind of contaminant. And I mean, there are conspiracy theorists who say AIDS was brought by aliens. Or
AIDS was brought by aliens.
I mean, I've heard all sorts of theories, you know, as to, well, yes, aliens have been here and they're screwing with us. Or that global warming is actually caused by aliens, you know.
You know, I
like that,
heard
that Greek guy, the aliens now.
I've actually heard another theory, and you just mentioned it, and you just made me remember it. Yeah, well, do you believe that aliens actually had mated with human beings?
That's one of the things I've seen on Ancient Aliens, that the human race was genetically engineered by aliens, and that our DNA is not pure native to this planet. And I could argue that, well, nothing's native to this planet because so many meteors crashed into it when it was forming. Our genetic blueprint could have come from anywhere, you know, and it mutated into what it is now. But then there's people against evolution which say, well, we were created by God. Well, what if God was an alien? What are you going to do then? You know, I mean, it's
God was an alien.
Exactly. It's like, well, God created the world in 7 days. Well done. You know, seven. And then,
I don't know.
But technically, we can create, human beings can create life in laboratories. Imagine.
Got it.
Alien race, 1,000 times more advanced, what can they create? What can they make out of, like, literally just basic building blocks?
Yeah,
we can
now
regrow
you're like,
we can make synthetic hearts.
Yeah, what was the name of that movie? It was had something to do with what you just said. It was called, like, Pandora or something like that.
Prometheus?
Yeah, that was it.
I finally actually watched that. Everybody's like, oh, you need to watch this. And I'm like, okay. Yeah.
I was pissed off about it. I was like, oh, this is like Alien versus Predator. This sucks. I was like, I thought this was going to be something else.
It was sort of interesting in the beginning when they showed that the alien was supposed to leave the planet and he died. And all his DNA washed into, like, down this waterfall. And that's how humanity was born, was out of that this guy's like ashes, literally, just like that's how humanity came about. And then finally humanity is so advanced and they found all these records that humanity goes looking for this quote-unquote god race and completely regrets it. It's like, don't go looking for your creator because you're going to regret it. That's what this movie's about, pretty much. But,
yeah. But then the Predator thing kind of pissed me off. I was kind of like, oh, seriously? Like, you had to throw that into this? I was like, oh, really? Oh, shit. I was kind of pissed off about that
because
I was like, oh, this is like the prequel to like Alien versus Predator now. I was like, oh, great. I was like, you know.
Yeah, that there actually was something that this race was afraid of, and, you know, why they were trying to do what they were doing. There was another movie I saw called Cloud Atlas, And that deals heavily in reincarnation, but it also has to do with what happens to mankind is the earth becomes almost uninhabitable because of war, radiation. And the quote-unquote elite go live in ships or space stations around the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, thousands of years go by, or hundreds of years go by, long enough for myth to take over. You know, I can't remember the time period in the movie, but it's either between 100 and 1,000 years. Enough for myth to take over and for them to completely be isolated from each other. There's some people still
mm-hmm.
left on this planet that have developed certain immunities to this radiation, or they live in pockets of little civilization that's not really radioactive anymore or at all. But some of them, you can see they're showing signs of
I think we just lost Amy. Yes, we just lost Amy. Hold on, she'll be right back. But yeah, that's really interesting. I don't know. I think one of the things that, you know, I found interesting was there she is. Lost her. Hello, Amy. Hello, Amy.
Hello.
My
line is
dead.
I don't know why. Yeah,
sorry.
The signal must have just went. As I was saying, this Cloud Atlas, there's, you know, the signs of these people, you know, some of them being poisoned slowly. And you can, you know, knowing anything about radiation poisoning, you'll see it in the movie. But these primitive people, very superstitious, very shamanistic, very simple people, are very, you know, they don't know where this poison is coming from. They think it's bad spirits, blah, blah, blah. Then suddenly, this ship comes down from those space stations.
Mm-hmm.
They think they're gods. They think they're babies. And they're human beings, but from another, you know, from another place. They've been separated for so long that the people on the ground do not know these people exist, but the people up there are aware that the people on the ground exist. And there's
mm-hmm.
this difference, there's this huge gap in technology where these people that fly around in the stratosphere and, you know, have these miraculous healing agents and, you know, are never sick, you know, there's hardly any sickness. They live for a long time. And then there are these people on the planet that are always sick. There's lots of death, starvation, you know, just harsh life. It's like, you know, simplistically saying, well, it's like comparing a starving person in Africa to somebody who lives in a penthouse in New York. It's a completely different world. And there's this whole thing about they find this temple, and it's actually a device to call. At one time, the people on the ground and the people in the space station is communicated. And it was lost somehow. It stopped. Because I'm going to have to watch this movie again. But, you know, the communication stopped, and it was basically they were trying to decide up in the space station if they should wipe out these people on the ground because they were, quote-unquote, sick. Because technically they all had a form of radiation poisoning, just some were more resistant to it than others. And a lot of these people on the ground, now knowing that these people exist up there and they're not gods, want to go up there to get better,
mm-hmm.
to live a better life. And the people up there won't let them. You know, it's like, but then, you know, that's how sometimes I think about UFOs. If they've visited before, you know, were they like us? Were they or did for some reason millions of years ago, we had an advanced society. Did it die out? Did it separate? You know, there's the whole mythos of Battlestar Galactica, to where life originated on Earth only because it was in these 12 planets before that. And they were all named after what we know now as the astrological signs.
What if like before like Egypt and all that, there was like an advanced civilization, they kind of like left off in ships and civilization like crumbled and they all started up again and like they come back on ships and be like, hey, what's up guys?
We were
back.
You at one point.
What?
I said we were you at one point. And they looked,
me?
You know, it's like, no, we were you, meaning the people who took off from the ships and came back. We were, to the people,
yeah, know,
on Earth,
right?
We were you at one point. It's like,
and
they look completely, you know, they're aliens. They don't look like us anymore. They develop, you know, different evolutionary patterns depending on where they live. Yeah, that's something, another show I was watching about, well, theoretically speaking, if there's alien life on, say, a non-carbon-based planet, these creatures will not look anything like us.
No.
They will look more like slugs or...
Bugs?
If it's, say, slugs, yeah, like one of them looked like this weird... It looked like it had a giant suction cup with legs, and it was, like, on this cliff. I don't know. That was one of the shows I was watching once, and it was so weird that I remembered it. It's like, wow, there's a creature stuck to the side of a mountain feeding off the moss that grows on the north side of this mountain. And that's all it does because the mountain is 3 miles high and it's flat. You know, it's one of those weird things. It's like, that's extremely specialized. There was another theory that, you know, if it was a planet like Jupiter where there is no ground and it's just gas, are there large jellyfish-like looking things that just sail in the atmosphere, picking up whatever it feeds off of through, like, you know, air receptive gills? And there's creatures that would develop in this atmosphere that never had to walk on the ground, or, you know, they just simply floated along. You know, that's something, you know, that kind of life wouldn't have the wherewithal to make a ship and travel. They just survive. They're like organisms. They have instinct, but they have no, what's it, ingenuity. And that's something, you know, I've been fascinated with. You know, and they've only come out in the past maybe like 5 years, shows like this, to say, well, guess what? Aliens may not even be remotely like us. They may be, you know, as advanced as a dinosaur. They're smart, they're cunning, they're predators on their planet, but leaving their planet is out of the question. You know, they don't have that kind of forward thinking. They don't have that kind of organization. Many people say that, you know, we have lizard people on our planet, like that show V. That, you know, all those reptilian race conspiracy theories are actually, where they're actually aliens living among us, and they're, you know, they can peel off their skin and they're reptiles underneath, their eyes are slit, you know. You know, that's another conspiracy theory that I've heard about concerning aliens and human civilization, or like they think the Illuminati is reptile people and they're all in our governments and stuff, and one day they're just going to enslave us. These are things that I read about and I go, wow, there's a lot of people who believe this. There's not just like two people or something, it's like hundreds of people believe this.
I don't know, I kind of believe that. I believe that, like, if we found another species. I don't know. I kind of do believe that there are another planet out there where they do kind of look like us physically.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
There's that whole, the ancient Sumerians. I think this is where Ancient Aliens actually started its series off, was the movie Chariots of the Gods that was based off a book by Eric Von Daniken. I'm hoping I've got the author right. He did a lot with ancient alien theories, that the Sumerians were actually, the Sumerian gods and goddesses were actually aliens that genetically manipulated humanity. And they come from a planet called Nibiru, and it orbits the Earth or passes by the Earth every 3,600 years. And
yeah, I remember that.
What was it?
I remember in 2012 thought Earth is going to crash into Nibiru, guys. Let's run.
Well, that was, that was one of the doomsday theories.
I was like, that's ridiculous.
That's one of the doomsday theories we have.
Yeah, I'm like, really? Last I checked? Yeah, I was like, last I checked, I've never heard of a planet called Nibiru that would cross paths with the Earth that's in our solar system, guys. Like, last I checked, the closest planet was Mars and Venus.
There's a theory that the Oort cloud, which is, I want to say it's between Jupiter and the next one in. Is it Venus? Yeah, I think it's Venus. Wherever the Oort cloud is, that used to be the 12th planet that it actually got destroyed. That we did have. Well, I don't even think it would be a 12th planet. We only have 9, don't we? Since they demoted Pluto as a planet.
Yeah, they demoted
Pluto.
It's a dwarf planet now.
I think that's correct. Yeah, it's a dwarf planet. We actually have like 2 or 3 of those on the outer solar system, dwarf planets, and I can't remember. I was watching the universe on Netflix. I had it on as like noise while I was writing, and I looked up and I went, oh, we do have more than one dwarf planet like Pluto. Oh, I didn't even realize, like, one thing like Ceres. And there's another one. One of them doesn't even look round. It looks like an asteroid. And I'm like, wow, I didn't even know. But they're saying that, you know, there's theories that there was this mythical Nibiru, but it's been destroyed. I'm like, well, you know, if something that close broke up, there would be more, I don't know, more evidence on this planet, I would think, of impact maybe from it, or it would be something that people saw in the sky that they recorded, but it would have happened a long, long time ago, maybe before, you know, man got organized enough to start writing stuff down. You know, that's one of the theories. That Nibiru was that, you know, or there was another, I read somewhere else where that Oort cloud was what Nibiru crashed into the last time it came through. And I was like, well, if this planet comes back, you know, who's to say it's going to be on a collision course with Earth? I mean, we can't even see it. And there was talk like about 3 years ago that there was a planet that they saw approaching our solar system, or something was approaching our solar system, and everybody's getting all nervous because, you know, it was only a few years away from the end of the world, supposedly, you know. And then 6 months later, I didn't hear about it anymore. You know, either they lost whatever it was, or it wasn't what they thought it was, and so they just kind of stopped talking about it. Or NASA just went, okay, you guys are being silly. This doesn't even exist. Just forget it, you know. Either that or there was a smudge on the Hubble lens. You know, we were wrong. But people say that all these alien movies that Hollywood is making, or all these, you know, this alien stuff in pop culture is just to get us used to the idea of, like, a mass invasion, to see how humanity would handle it on like a subconscious level. And I was like, okay, I think we'd be pretty mad if we got invaded by something that, you know, wants to exterminate us. We're not just going to go, oh, look, we want to make friends. There was a movie Contact where they built a machine out of specifications that they got from the signal. And they can't prove whether she had a real experience or not. Because technically she was only out of communication for 30 seconds, but according to her, it was hours.
I don't know. I mean, I would like to think
that, No, go ahead.
You can finish, sorry.
Oh, I am finished.
Okay. Well, I mean, I would like to think that, you know, if there are, like, another, you know, extraterrestrial beings, you know, out there, that they would have, that they would be, you know, like, more civilized than we are, that, you know, that they are, you know, peaceful people. You know, I like to think that.
Yeah, that is,
you know,
that is a
if they've
well,
survived,
they're peaceful enough that they haven't killed each other on their own planet, and they've managed to technologically advance enough to make it to visiting other solar systems or galaxies.
Yeah, I would like to think that, you know. Yeah.
I would like to think that, too. That's sort of where I am as, you know, there's the wishful thinking of let's hope they're peaceful, which, you know, technically to get the drive to explore, to advance, you either need harsh warlike conditions, which we have here on Earth, or you need complete utopia where there's no quote-unquote stress and there's ample what's the word I'm looking for? Ample time and want for this technological advance.
Well, I mean, when you think about it, as a species, I mean, when you think about it, when you look back on history, you know, humanity, we're still pretty young. I mean, and the world's connected now by the internet and globalization in all these things. You know, we haven't been, you know, connected for that long as a world, you know. I mean, I think, you know, it takes time, but, you know what I mean? Because, the world as a whole really hasn't been connected. We've always been separated by oceans and it'll take time.
Yeah. I think it would to get used to each other in terms of, you know, we all live here. We all kind of want the same thing. We want to grow up, have enough money to live at least comfortably and not have bombs dropped on our cities or things blown up for no reason.
Yeah, but that's like the major problem is that the planet can't support this amount of people. Like, it wasn't designed, you know. I mean, it can't support the amount of people here right now, you know. I mean, obviously the future would be out in space where you would have to, you know, colonize different planets and live on those planets and expand outward. So.
Yeah, and who knows? The aliens visiting us could be colonizing.
Aliens.
The same problem.
we're gonna pull the Native American thing on you guys, and we're gonna totally like wipe you guys out because we need this planet.
We're gonna trade you seashells for your land, and you'll like it.
Yeah. that would be pretty depressing. You know, they pull the whole Columbus thing on us. They're like, hey, guys, we're here.
Feel free to send me hate mail over that.
Like, thanks for the land. Like,
That's what people don't understand is, you know, when you go to colonize a place, like, you know, any inhabitable or attractive looking place to live will usually already have somebody living there. as kind of like a given.
What
because,
did they say,
you know,
like,
Antarctica,
you were posted?
Which, thank you.
They said that we're
Antarctica
supposed to terraform. We're supposed to terraform. What?
Mars or the moon?
Yeah. We're supposed to go to Mars in 2060 and terraform it. So Mars will be terraformed in 2060.
Well, we'll all bet money on that one. I think I might be by then. I'm not sure. But we'll see. We'll see if we can find any green net on the Martian first surface.
Let's see. How old will I be?
I'll be 80 years old in that year. Yeah, 80 years old. But, yeah, if we're
I'll
on Mars
70.
By then, great. It'll be fantastic. And there's a whole, just found out, there's a whole bunch of people who want to go to Mars. The next mission they send. There's like 100 or so people that have signed this petition to become aliens themselves. So.
What do you mean aliens themselves?
Well, they're going to a world that's not ours, technically, you know.
We want to
like,
be probed, no.
They're gonna go. They're gonna go probe the craters. And that's our show for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We're gonna call it Ice Mars.
Like, I want to be probed. So then they would be Martians. That'd be weird.
Yes, we'd have Martians.
Hey, we're gonna be some Martians. We also were talking about terraforming Venus.
Venus, now isn't that a gaseous planet?
Yeah.
Or is
well,
there land over there?
Here's what they're gonna do. They're gonna actually knock it off course and push it a little bit more towards the Earth. That way, it can be in like a livable zone, and then they're gonna terraform it.
Pushing a planet, now that's going to take some force.
I know.
You,
they actually have talked about, they're going to terraform Venus.
Oh my goodness. I'm trying to think of anything that's even remotely attractive about Venus that people would want to terraform.
Well,
I guess its location, it's probably one of those, what do they call it, the Goldilocks zones of planets, where it's not too hot and not too cold. You know, if we were
oh
any
my
closer
gosh.
To the sun,
you know what's
going to
take off? Like once people go to space, it's going to be like these space miners, you know, all these space miners going to start up these companies and go to space and mine some precious materials and make, like, billions of dollars off of it.
There was an article. I'm trying to remember where I read it. It was just a little headline. But it was how they have identified a way. Or they're in the process of finalizing a way to draw an asteroid close to Earth, close enough to Earth to mine it. And I can't remember where I saw the article, but I was like, oh, I want to read that later. Now I've lost track of it.
Well,
but that would be very, extremely interesting.
Yeah, well, if we do go to space, go to Mars, it won't be by NASA. I mean, obviously, it won't be by NASA. I mean, we all know that. It'll be by a private company.
So Virgin Space
Company.
It's
kind of sad in a way.
Is taking off. I was actually looking at I entered a contest for a logo design for a company that said it was going to be like Virgin Space, called Firefly, actually, after the show. I kind of found that funny. But it wanted to be a privately funded commercial, space travel agency. They wanted to first start with a high atmospheric flying, basically high speed spaceships that would, take people from point A to point B in half the time it takes now. But they would fly strictly in the stratosphere where airplanes right now don't fly. And they would, they would make them into cruise ships, like type things, floating cruise ships.
Mm-hmm.
And the very basically only the very wealthy, like the billionaires of the world, will be able to afford this. I mean, one trip just to get one of these ships into orbit would cost over $1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get a ship from the ground, build it, get it into the, never mind how long it's up there. I mean, trying to, you know, billions of dollars, trillions even. This is a very lucrative business if it goes in the right direction. They're doing it for strictly entertainment. They do have a bit of scientific interest that, you know, not only, you know, is this a pleasure cruise for really super rich people, but any, you know, these super rich people might fund experiments on the same craft. Now, that could either go good or bad.
Yeah, I was thinking it'll be like that Matt Damon movie that just came out. I don't remember. I don't know. Like, remember what it was called? Like Asylum or something like that.
Elysium.
I don't remember what it was. Yeah, it was they'll like make Mars some super rich like planet where only the rich people.
Yeah.
Live. Like.
Explore places that, you know, and the super rich are going to get to do it. I mean, you know, Bill Gates, I bet you, will be one of the first people up there. But that man has a lot to learn, and him and his wife fund education, which is amazing. They're doing something worthwhile with their money instead of squirreling it away and, you know, laughing at other people, which some of the rich do.
Mm-hmm.
They buy yachts and, you know, have golden toilets or something. You know, just ridiculous stuff. But so it's interesting that, like, NASA is a federally funded by a government agency, which has its limits. We want to land on the moon. When we wanted to land on the moon, so did the Soviet Union. And we were not only in an arms race with the Soviet Union back then, but we were in a cultural race. We wanted to stay more advanced and more desirable to the rest of the world over Russia. We wanted to be the good guys. We wanted to be the heroes. And so Kennedy thought that was a very peaceful way of doing it, not building nuclear weapons, but building spaceships. Go to the moon. Very innocuous way of staying favorable, staying the good guy. But, you know, now we're the entire planet is in an economic recession where governments have to cut their budgets. So guess what? No space race. No Mars, no funded by anything having to do with the government. And because of the terrorism now, we'll have, you know, our funding goes to self-defense and war because we're still technically at war. We have troops all over the place, so. And that's where, and that and saving, you know, putting money into the sectors to get people jobs to boost the economy. So, it's going to be privately funded. The future is a lot more of these, like I said, I entered a logo contest for a new startup, and they won't. They're when I googled them, and I googled other, you know, space shuttle flights. It was Virgin. There was one other one, and it was this Firefly company. There are three companies doing this, or even publicly talking about it. In 20 years, there will be 5 times that many. They will be like ocean explorers. They'll be privately, you know, there'll be articles on the news about them sending, you know, ships to, you know, build stuff on the moon. There might be a big thing. They've retrieved the first flag that was placed on the moon. They'll bring it back to Earth. you know, that's something I'm waiting to, you know, see. They'll find the rovers in 40 years that have finally stopped working, or whenever they get to Mars. But, you know, we may not like what we find. There's only, you know, we've sent robots there that cost more than the budgets of small countries. And when we send people, we may not find everything we're looking for, or we may conclude that it's too harsh an environment for people. Robots can only show us so much, or the psychological impact of people living there will be detrimental. The concept of homesickness, or there could be pathogens there that, you know, like when we were talking about the Indians and, you know, smallpox, there could be bacteria frozen or, you know, not active right now on that planet that if we activate it, we'd wipe out the entire team we sent there.
Yeah, about that. Yeah, well, I've actually read about that. Well, you can go to Mars. That's the thing. If you go to Mars, you can't come back.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it's a one-way ticket.
Any of the chemicals?
Yeah, that's exactly.
Or any of
the
bacteria? Yeah.
Yeah, like if you want to go there, you can't come back.
That's what I was saying about the 100 or so people that wanted to go on a one-way ticket to Mars, and it seemed to be, you know, the thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
that's the thing.
Many people signed up. But, you know,
yeah.
It's like they, you know, you watch all these movies and you wonder, where is all this alien talk coming from? Yes, we've seen the tin cans, you know, the old 50s movies where there's somebody in this tin can spacesuit and they were an alien, they were a Martian. The moon was made of cheese. When they flew to space, the rocket landed in the eye of the moon. There was an old film with that in it. All this myth and superstition about the moon is not made of cheese. We have come to find out.
Darn,
it
I wish
like.
It was.
Yeah.
Darn.
That would be great. Yes. Yes. Let's.
You ruined my dreams, Amy. Mozzarella cheese? No. Oh,
no. No, the moon is made of Swiss. It's got holes in it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But, you know, we would have these, you know, fantasies about what was out there. I mean, man has always been looking at the sky because man's always looking at the sky and the ocean because it's mysterious. It's unknown. It's the stars are magnificent to look at, whether you are 4 years old or 80 years old. There's wonder. And many, many, many scientists have looked to the stars to make sense of life here. Sailors use the stars to track their place in the ocean. Explorers, that's how they learn to navigate the oceans, is by the stars and the sun. Extraterrestrial bodies to us, you know, they're not earthbound. For many, many years, it was said that, well, the ancient Greeks knew that for some reason, I don't know how it got reversed, but they knew that the earth revolved around the sun and that the sun, you know, moved too. And the moon revolved around the earth. Well, somehow that got lost, and suddenly the earth was flat, and the earth was circled by the sun. And the moon was also orbiting the earth and the sun somehow. But, you know, now we know that the earth orbits the sun. There's tons more planets out there, and there's our sun is not very spectacular as far as, you know, stars go. It's kind of boring. And, you know, that's another thing that, you know, we think about with aliens and UFOs is when you think about what you see, like, oh, well, we see the supernova right now. This star blew up, I'd say, you know, or the scientists says, I'd say, you know, 500 years ago. Well, what do people see when they see Earth? Do they see us in the past or do they see us in the future? Which side of the time thing are we on to this alien or alien race? Do they not see Earth at all? Did it not, can they not, you know, how far back or how far forward are they in terms of the expansion of the universe?
Yeah.
You know, when we look at certain parts of the universe, we're looking to thousands of, 1,000 years ago, millions of years ago, and we don't see it in terms of, you know, we think of when we look at something with our eyes, it's there in front of us, it's instant, it's now. When you're looking through a telescope in space, what people, you know, I mean, the scientists know, but what most people don't realize is that you're looking back in time to, you know, thousands, if not millions of years before. That star blew up a million years ago, and we're just seeing it now.
Yeah.
Because it's,
well, you know,
so far away.
I thought about that. I thought about that. And, well, think about it like this. And, well, we're just going to finish this show off with this, like, last comment. But you know how people create time, okay? You know, we create years and dates and charts and time, okay? Well, when you think about it, do you think that other extraterrestrial beings measure things in time as we do?
I don't know. It could also be...
Like a dog, you know, a dog doesn't think of things in time. It thinks things, you know, things. You know, it doesn't think like that. It just says it is what it is, like, you know. So it's interesting to think of it that way. I don't know if you had something to say on that. Are you still there with me? Hold on. I think we lost her. Yeah, we just lost Amy. Well, thank you for tuning into Paranormal Access Radio tonight. I'm going to shut the show off tonight, but join us next Friday at 10 p.m. as we bring new guests and new topics onto the show. Thank you guys for listening. Good night.